A letter to myself, aged 7. Dear Robin, you might be surprised to know how well I remember you. And on one day in particular, 1st of January, 1956, New Year's Day. On this day, you are in mourning. You've gone off by yourself to cry, and that welling suffocating desolation in your chest, your throat, and your eyes is still quite vivid to me. You're not crying for the usual thing, a dead pet mouse or dog, or even a member of the family. You are mourning something in a quite different, less tangible category of experience. What you can't come to terms with is that the year 1955 has gone suddenly, irretrievably, inexplicably, and forever. What happened in 1955 that made its end so particularly terrible for you? Not the War of Independence in Cyprus, not the visit of Mr. Khrushchev, or the death of Albert Einstein, and not the arrival of the polio vaccine, though that did make its mark on you, or the top of your left arm. Possibly the retirement of Winston Churchill last April has affected you in some way. He's the only Prime Minister you've known until Mr. Eden came along. He seems to be a bit of a disappointment. Bigger things have been happening on the family front, of which the most significant is your brother's departure to boarding school, which happened in September. It's a big change in your life. You've missed him throughout the autumn term, and you don't see term time improving in the year ahead. The other thing about 1955 was its heatwave summer. It was a corker, with temperatures in July higher than even your grandparents can remember. That summer, like Dylan Thomas on Fern Hill, time let me play and be, golden in the mercy of his means. And now everyone says there won't be another summer like that for donkey's years. But the most important thing about your mourning is that until now you've never really noticed how time works, the one-directional relentlessness of it, the callous abandonment of old experiences, moments ruined, run over, broken by the wheels of what you will one day read Andrew Marvel calling time's winged chariot. So I'm writing now because I want you to be comforted, because you won't go around very much over the next few years regretting past time again. Children don't. For the immediate future, what will or might happen is going to be more important than what did happen. And even in the long run, the sense of time's cruelty, though it will increasingly get to you, will be mitigated by moments of its kindness, of its mercy. Like Dylan Thomas on Fern Hill, you've already been happy as the grass was green, and some taste of those salad days will always now and then come back. And others, especially, if you're lucky, in love, when time will just occasionally tiptoe discreetly out of the room and leave the two of you alone for a while. This is exactly what happens in Louis MacNeice's poem, Meeting Point, when he remembers sitting with his girl in a tea shop and time was away and somewhere else. The waiter did not come, the clock forgot them, and the radio waltz came out like water from a rock. Time was away and somewhere else. So there will be moments that are not to be destroyed under the wheels of the chariot. Moments not always happy, but ones which will continue to exist in some way, like that New Year's Day in 1956 that I remember so well. A small pocket of remission in face of the impetuous destruction that usually follows in time's wake. So be consoled, Robin, please. Yours very sincerely, Robin.